Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
And today I'm chatting to Yanki Farber, Israeli journalist. And as per usual, I've just gathered what I have deemed to be the trending stories in Israel today. And Yanki, as per usual, if there's anything that I'm not raising, up to you to please just alert us to those particular stories. So great to have you with me on Chai FM. And maybe let me start with a story from the Jerusalem Post that the Mossad has unveiled a network of Hamas terror infrastructure across Europe. What do we know about that story, Yanki?
So in the last few weeks, we've seen I think in Denmark, in Germany, Austria, maybe some other country in Europe, some Hamas members being arrested. They kept weapons in secret places. And we've seen from time to time in the last few weeks, every time there's another arrest in Denmark and then in Germany and then another and then again in Denmark. And then I think in Norway, in some other countries. Yesterday, the Israeli Mossad has published that all those arrests have been made after the Israeli Mossad gave information to those countries. And they arrested all of them and they found weapons. Now, those weapons were prepared to attack either Jewish people from Jewish communities or either Israelis who live in all those in those countries. And they like kept it like for, you know, for the day that they would get an order to attack. They didn't have like something, a plan, but they just kept a lot of weapons in secret places. And the Mossad gave the information where those people are, and they all been arrested.
Just a comment. It's quite remarkable to me that it took the Mossad to be giving the information to those particular governments and not those governments themselves. I find that pretty remarkable.
Well, look, those people, they communicate between each other on Arabic. So the only people who are good in tracking social media on Arabic, even secret, chats, or the CIA and the Israeli Mossad. The American CIA also doing a very good job, and they know so well. Europe is a little bit behind, seems like it. Those countries probably don't have the ability or not capable or don't really know, because every time we see the Mossad gave information to countries in Europe, if we remember, actually, Australia, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the Israeli Mossad gave information to the Australian authorities that some Daesh, ISIS terrorists are planning to hijack a plane from Australia to UAE. I think if you had an air plane and they wanted to blow up the plane in the air. So Israel is giving information to all those countries because Israel has the experience the ability to check and read Arabic properly what's going on, and they give information to it. Happens all the time, but this time was like a big thing, so they published it.
Yanki, I don't know if it's true or not. This just brings me to a related issue. A couple of weeks back, there were reports all over the media stating that after the British recognized a Palestinian state, apparently the Mossad was supposed to have said it's game over. There's no more cooperation between MI5 and the Mossad. Was that fake news?
Yes, it was fake news. I saw it on TikTok. I saw it on Twitter. Listen, I checked in so many places. It wasn't mentioned anywhere. And I spoke to Israeli officials. Nobody knows anything about it. It was just fake. And I think Israel is a little bit more mature and not getting annoyed or, you know, like a little kid and say, okay, you recognize Palestinian state. We're not going to give you information that's going to save lives of people in your country. It's real fake news.
I'm so glad you clarified that. It's exactly what I was thinking, but I couldn't get to the bottom of it because it was just difficult to ascertain the truth. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. Another interesting story today, kind of related to the first issue we spoke about. Apparently in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria, Israeli security officials are warning of coordinated escalations.
Yeah, well, it's like three different places, but it's okay. So Hezbollah in Lebanon, the situation is really escalating, and it's really not so good. Israel is attacking daily in Lebanon because Hezbollah is trying to build its terror organization again and again, and Israel is stopping it. Israel is not taking a chance like they did, you know. Last time, like before the war, they're not letting Hezbollah getting big, and they're destroying everything they can. Lebanon army is not really doing much. They try, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to make a civil war between them and Hezbollah. So Israel is still attacking. For the meantime, Hezbollah did not shoot anything back. Israel is just killing every single day terrorists, every day, sometimes 5, sometimes 10. And actually yesterday, Israel killed, I think, 14 or 15, 15 Hamas, actually, terrorists, and injured, I don't know, a few dozens.
This was in Gaza.
Yeah.
This
no, was in, Gaza in Lebanon, Hamas in Lebanon.
In Lebanon.
Yes, okay, Hamas, they have like in refugee camps, a lot of Hamas members, and they... And those people have they're not really a terror organization, but they just keep weapons in those camps, and they, you know, they planning how to attack Israel. So Israel just decided to blow up all those Hamas places, and they killed 14 Hamas members in Lebanon, not Gaza, and about 28 or 35 Hamas people were injured.
So the Qatari response that's been published in the Times of Israel today, warning that the IDF response to yesterday's attacks threatens the ceasefire, what are they referring to? Are they referring to the attack of the Hamas members in Lebanon or
no,
to other
in
attacks in Gaza?
Gaza. Well, also in Gaza, Israel is attacking every day. As we speak, Israel is attacking Rafah. Israel is attacking deep inside Gaza because those people, Hamas... It's not really in a ceasefire. They're trying to kill Israeli soldiers. They're trying to invent. They're trying to get close to the border all the time. The only reason they don't do it because Israel is now watching, the Gaza border much better than we did before 7th of October. So this is what Qatar is referring to. And of course, Qatar did not mention a word about Hamas. They only blamed Israel like they do all the time.
Question.
So, yeah, and also Gaza is... No, but Gaza... I think will eventually something work out, like in a peace, or not really peace, but at least ceasefire, because Donald Trump, president of the United States, is really doing a lot to stop the war in Gaza. About Lebanon, America doesn't really care. You know, yesterday was published that the chief of the Lebanon army was refused entry to come to the White House. He was supposed to come to the White House to meet, I don't know, some officials in the White House, and he was, and they told him not to come because the United States is saying to Lebanon army, you're not doing anything to stop Hezbollah, so we don't want to talk to you, and you're not really doing much. So America doesn't really care much about Lebanon. America cares more about Gaza.
That's an interesting thing to watch. I had thought that the Lebanese government had an interest to actually comply with the Americans' requirements, but clearly they're just too afraid
yeah.
of the power of Hezbollah within
Hezbollah.
Their territory. The other story that caught my eye was this one, the fact that the Israeli High Court, Bagatz, has given the government 45 days to draw up sanctions for draft dodgers. I presume they're referring to the Haredi draft dodgers. I thought that this issue was being taken care of and that the Haredim had agreed to a compromise as a legislative solution.
Well, listen, nothing really been changed. And those 45 days is like, they just needed to say something because people are applying to the Supreme Court. Why you're not doing much? Well, listen, in the last year, maybe over a year, the yeshivot are not getting any money. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody that needs to join the IDF because he's over 18 and he got a letter to arrive and he's not arriving, he cannot leave Israel. He cannot work. He cannot go to university. He's basically stuck at home or in yeshiva. Nothing has been done. The only thing that the Supreme Court is maybe referring to is, why are you not arresting them? Well, it's impossible to arrest 100,000 men that are not joining the IDF. So they just did it because they had to say it, but nothing really. Okay, so they said, okay, why are you not doing anything? So what do you want the government to do? The government is definitely, the government doesn't have the power to arrest those people. The people who have the power to arrest Haredim, who don't join the IDF, is either the military police, either the police, the regular police. Now, the military police are very, very weak. They don't deal with such, you know, so many numbers. They can arrest 5 people, 10 people. They have maybe 4, I don't know how many police officers they have in the IDF. Not much. And they can arrest maybe 5 or 10 people. Like, you know, in a month, they don't have the ability to arrest more than that. Now, the regular police, the chief of the police said, I'm sorry, I'm not getting involved in it. It's not my job. I don't care. I don't have the power and I don't have the men. I don't have enough police officers to arrest 50,000 Haredim. I have terror. I have crimes. And I'm putting the time and the people I have, I am working only on crimes and terror. I don't care about the IDF. So they shouldn't go to the IDF. I'm not going to arrest them. So, and this is how it's been going on in the last year. So what the Supreme Court said yesterday was like, okay, you have to arrest them. Okay, so but they said it like 2 months ago. Nothing really changed. Israel will probably go on election very soon.
The last issue that I wanted to discuss with you today, and I'll leave you to discuss anything else with me if there's anything of relevance, was the story coming out of New York, not an Israel story, but a Jewish story. Death to the IDF, apparently being shouted outside of a New York City shul. I'm wondering if this is now the start of a new movement that we're going to start seeing in the United States, and people emboldened by the victory of Zoran Mamdani.
No, I don't think it had to do with the victim of it was the victim was the victory of Mamdani. I think it's something that's been going on for the last 2 years. It was outside the synagogue in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. They shouted many, many bad things about Israel. And by the way, there was many Jewish people standing on the other side of the street and shouting back at those people. And police was, of course, standing between them. I think it's been going on for the last 2 years. I don't think it has to do anything with Mamdani. And you know something? I don't really think Mamdani can do anything and maybe cause any bad things to Israel. He doesn't have the power, you know, he doesn't have the ability. And you know why? Because at the end of the day, you know, being a mayor of New York is not an easy job. He's going to wake up in the morning and he's going to have to deal with the garbage, with the electricity, with the street, with the people. Mm-hmm. And there's so many crimes and so many things going on in New York. The last thing that he's going to have time is to speak about Israel. So before the election, he spoke, Israel, 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 yeah, we have to do this. I'll arrest Netanyahu. He doesn't have the ability to arrest Netanyahu. No one of the police officers in New York will arrest Netanyahu. And Netanyahu doesn't really care. I don't think he even ignored what he said. He just said it because he wanted to get elected and he wanted all those people who hate Israel to vote for him. And he did it. Okay. Now he has to look after the garbage. He has to look after the electricity. He has to look after the streets. He has to look after, you know, regular things that mayors do in the street. Nobody cares about what he says about Israel. It's just for social media.
Got time for one more issue. I've just opened the Jerusalem Post, and in front of me is a headline that seems new. Hamas's underground terror city, IDF, uncovers massive tunnel network underneath Gaza's Beit Hanun. Yanki, there's been a war for 2 years. Israel has pretty much been in control of the strip. Why are they discovering massive tunnels 2 years later?
Well, listen, I saw the video, what you're talking about, just before. And just before, well, look, Gaza has 500 kilometers of, you know, if they would make like underground, like in London, it could be crazy. They did
bigger
500,
the
they have tunnels, 500 kilometers goes around Gaza, when Gaza is just 40 kilometers square. So I've seen the video. Nothing is really, nobody was surprised. It's impossible in 2 years to reach every single tunnel and every single you know, place where they keep weapons. But Israel saw it, and Israel knew it, and they destroyed the place after that. And I'll tell you more than that. Israel knew many, many places, many tunnels not long ago, but they could not blow it up because they were afraid that the Israeli hostages are in those tunnels. That's why they didn't destroy it. But in the last 2 months, Israel keeps, I mean, not 2 months, maybe a month, since those hostages came back, Israel is destroying every single day tunnels. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to take.
Thank you, Faber. As always, thank you so much for your input this afternoon.
Yep.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.